Good to see y'all. Thank y'all for coming out tonight. It shows that we have a ready mind to go to a place that's for prepared people. And they call it the five P's of life when you're in a spiritual way. Prior preparation prevents poor performance. Any poor performance, anything that's six or below, will not get us into eternal life, but to an eternal abode with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we may spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. Now, first of all, everybody got your Bibles? That's what I want. I want the Bible. You know, I want to do some Bible reading tonight. Don't y'all want to do some Bible reading tonight? I do. I spent all this week writing down different definitions for different words like reconciliation, sanctification, and I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to talk about that. I said, since I can't text my stuff in, I'm going to talk about Leviticus. Yeah, that's what I said. You hear that saying? Since I can't text my stuff in, I'm going to talk about that. But let me just put this up so I can go ahead and stay on track, because Al said, hey, look, man, don't mess with us like that. I'm going to break it out. I got about two lines on here. That's about all. Two lines. That is right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Two lines. Tonight, though, really, we're going to talk about Leviticus chapter 28. Everybody turn to Leviticus chapter 28. That's what I want to talk about. Because I'm enjoying this reading that we're having tonight, and it's not on tonight, that we've started in the book of Genesis. And as we come through the book of Genesis, we see the progression that God is making with his people. When God created the heaven and earth, he created us finite creatures to worship and serve him. But we see what happened. We see what happened. He said in the Garden of Eden for him not to do what? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But unfortunately, we as human beings, we do what? We do something different. We always want to do it our way. And today, we're still making those same mistakes. So, as we get to Leviticus, Leviticus 26th chapter is what I want us to talk about. And we're going to talk about it verse by verse, and then we're going to make a comparison. We get on up here, we go through the book of Genesis, and we saw all of the different things that has to take place, that God is showing man how that he is, that he would have us to walk with. God used to speak to us directly through the heads of the household. Now God in his wisdom, before the foundation of the earth, now is implementing his plan so he can put it in a better way so that man could understand. Now we can fast forward this to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we can see where he says, sacrifices and offerings, starting by verse number 5 and 6, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but he says that what? A body that thou hast prepared for me. And then he comes on down after he finished that, he says, sacrifices and offerings thou would not, but he says, I come to do thy will, O God. And that's when it says that he came and he sent the word. Going back to the book of John. In John 1:1, in the beginning, was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And we know that that word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And that it gave us the combination of the things that we're studying now. And look at all of those years that God used to prepare man to get to the point that we could understand what was going on. But still, guess what? If I had to give you a topic tonight, my topic would be, God is preparing a people. God is preparing a people. Let's look at this. Now we all see that all of these strict definitions of rules that God has been given the children of Israel ever since they came out of bondage. And it really started taking place when? When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he come down, and they've been getting instructions, heavy instructions ever since. Heavy, heavy instructions. It goes to what it says in Galatians 3 and 24, where it says that the law was what? Our schoolmaster. It was a tutor. And this is the tutorial that's going on right here, taking place. Now, what you're going to notice here in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, is the first form. These 4 to 6 verses are the pluses and the minuses. If you do, and if you don't do what God said do, that's what's going to happen. That's what we're going to talk about. But also now, after these who are 20 years old and older die out, and just before we go into, after Moses, before Moses died, one more time in Deuteronomy 28, or the the 28, those 68 chapters, in that, no, 68 verses in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, is the same portion, but to another set of people. And the only two originals who have heard it is Joshua and Caleb, Moses and Aaron, and of course, you know what happens, some of that. But it gets more definitive and more stronger. In other words, God is preparing a people like a tutor prepares somebody from the introduction of the pre-K and on to the first, second, third, and fourth. Y'all understand what we're talking about? That's just all I want to talk about tonight. Something that you're already familiar with, you're already doing, and just so we can just, but this is what I wanted to share with you, and because I know y'all got some insight, and you might want to talk back with me. So that's what we're here about tonight. Let's start with verse number 1 in the 26th chapter of verse of Leviticus. He says, ye shall make you no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. All right, first of all, here's a people that just come out of the Egyptian bondage. They've been there about 215 years. 15 years. Now, we do not read or hear of any kind of worship service going on where? In Egypt. All we hear is about from good to the oppressive rigor of building all of these tombs and all the kingdom. And guess what? All these different gods they got down there? Why do you think God told them this? Because look what they come out of. That's all they knew. So now God is saying, now you got to get this out or you got to let that go. And then you still got to think about all the instructions he's given them already from the time he began that he come out of there, that he's told them that, now you can't be like these people what you're going among. Now you can't worship better gods, you can't participate, you can't do anything. He said, because I am the Lord your God. And what he said, I am a what? Jealous God. Now based on that, they listening to God through Moses. And then every time God wanted, when he said, as he said earlier this morning, when he wanted to get the whole congregation so you can speak to them, they don't want to hear the voice of God because that's too much for them. We don't want to hear that. We'd rather for you to talk to us, Moses. No, we ain't got time for this. So you just tell us what God want us to do, because that's too terrible. Same way Moses said that he even trembled and quaked at times because he listened to the word of God because it was so trying for him. Now look at verse 2. He said, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. In other words, he says, look, keep my Sabbath. Now we got people who are Sabbatarians who go crazy with this word. The word Sabbath here is basically used for what? Rest. Rest. R-E-S-T. Just like it did when it says that in the creation of the world. He said, on the seventh day, the Lord rested. We know the Lord didn't rest, but we know what it means for the Lord, that he ceased from doing the work or the creation of the heaven and the earth. That's what it means in that word. He ceased. But now here, it's talking about rest, Sabbath rest, that they should do whatever they wanted to do for those 6 days. But on that seventh day, I'm preparing you to get ready so you can start worshiping. Now he's come to the point where he says, tabernacle. We never seen a tabernacle before. We said they had an altar out there in the wood. And he told them, said, don't hew no stones. Don't do nothing like that. Don't put a sharpener or anything on it. He said, just use ordinary stones when you've been in an altar to me to worship, to offer a sacrifice on. Y'all remember that? When you read that? Now, you know, that, y'all know what I'm talking about when you're reading, and, you know, keeping up on your reading. I'm just pining in with y'all on that, okay? Now, listen to verse number 3. He said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. You know, we got that same thing for us today. See, that's the whole point that he's been trying to get everybody to do. And poor Eve, all she had to do was what the Lord said to do. But no, she wanted to have a conversation with somebody besides Adam and messed us all up. Look at us today. Man, we just like Lucifer. Ain't we a mess? Come on, man. But in Jesus, we've been straightened out. Ain't that right? All right, that's all we have to do is do and keep, walk in his statutes and keep his commandments and do them. He said, then, here's these blessings we're talking about. Then will I give you rain in due season in the land, and ye shall yield, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield the fruits, and your threshings, and all that. You read all down there talking about those many blessings of God, how you ain't going to have no need for no food and everything. Everything that's scheduled to go on time is going to happen just like it's supposed to. When you do what? Keep my commandments and statutes and commandments and do them. And then he also told him, look, he said, you're going to have peace in your land. You shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Man, look at all these many blessings, he said. And he said, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by sword. In other words, you're going to be the conqueror. You're going to be successful. Whatever you do, hey, even you, it ain't going to be no problem. It's going to be a blessing for you. Then he goes on down and he says, look here. He says, look. He said, and five of you shall chase 100. Can you imagine that? Me, John, Hemp, Al, and Brandon, and Brown, the rest of them, right? We chasing 100 folk. Because we doing what God said do, man, and we are victorious. Now they had this because now look at what they've seen. All of them wonderful things they've seen over there and their deliverance from Egypt. But man, we can see all of the paltry inability, unfaithfulness, and their lack of what the faith in what God has done. And they all these wonderful miracles. And he telling them this. Oh, come on now, let's go. And then he says, number 9. Listen to what God says. I will have respect unto you. Make you fruitful. Man, you have a lot of little children. A whole bunch of them, John. Not one or two. Proverbs, so you know, got a quiver full of them, right? Blessed is the man. All right, you know, come on over there now. And he said, not only that, he said, make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you, and ye shall eat old store. In other words, that crop you just planted in that last season, every season that a crop is due, all right, you're going to have that store, you're going to be eating on it, then while the other one getting right, and then, you know, it's just going to keep on going. God, it's just going, it ain't going to be no want, no, it's just going to keep coming to you, just like it's supposed to. What a guarantee. Sister Dar, she'd love that, you know what I mean? You know, Easter ain't no figs this time. You know, then you come around corn this time, then wheat this time. You know, you can't beat that. What a blessing. What a blessing. But hold on. He says, and you shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. In other words, you ain't going to be doing nothing out of the way. You can, just as long as you do it the way I said do it. I like that. And then he said, and I will set my tabernacle. Uh-oh. There it is, that word, tabernacle. Now he's introducing the church formula, the assembly form. That, you know, now he's been telling us to bring the whole church. Now he's saying the assembly, tabernacle. Now he's getting ready to start telling them that they're going to have to start worshiping on Saturday. But, you know, after that mumbling, grumbling, it's going to be after them other folks get killed and stuff like that, you know. Y'all see what I'm talking about. Keep on reading. You get there. It's over there because they're going to mumble and grumble. But he says this. He says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondsman or slave. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you upright. What is upright? Upright is just simply being free. The tyranny of mankind is always to suppress someone. He wants to have someone in bondage, whether it's economical or whatever, through drugs or whatever, but it's still God has said, you shall be free in him. John 8, 31 and 32 says that you keep his word, you know what I mean? You're gonna be what? Free. And then he said, he'll make you what? Free indeed, right? See? We gotta keep that word, brothers and sisters. I'm just looking at the parallels of what we're studying now and the fulfillment of it over here in the New Testament. And when I was reading that, you know, it was so good, I think I got my new eye, John. Boy, it really felt good. You know, no pain. But I mean, it just I just couldn't help it. I just had to get in and just dig in. Now let me go just a little bit forward, go a little bit further there, because I might skip some things. But now, verse 14 through 16, I'm going to put them all in one. He said, if you are not hearkening to me, and will not do all these things, these commandments. Now you notice the voice has changed. He was giving them the positive. Now he says, if you are not, and you shall despise my statute, or if your soul abhor my judgments, and will not do my commandments, but that you break my covenant, he says, I will also do this unto you. What will I do? He said, I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and burning auger that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Man, I don't care what I'm doing, man. I'm not being prosperous now. I'm failing. Because now I'm going against the will of God, and it's not going to work this way anymore for me, because God says as long as I was doing the way he said do it, hey, man, I'm going to be successful. But now that I'm doing what I want to do, I done messed up everything. He done said, look at that. I'm going to say the speediest thing. He says, look, he says, I'm going to set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, and they shall hate. And they that hate you shall reign over you and shall flee. And you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. You know, people say, well, what is seven times thing? Well, remember I told you earlier, that word six is incomplete. What God says, what I'm going to do, and when I tell you I'm going to do so, it's going to be fulfilled and it's going to be completed. I'm going to bring it to fruition, but I'm not going to be half-stepping. I'm going to utterly destroy you. Fast forward. 2 Kings. 2 Kings 6:24. 2 Kings 6:24. We're just going to look at that right quick. Here's an image of what happened to him. And I'm just going to, because, you know, I've used up my time. Here's an image of what happened to him. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Verse 24. Here's an example of what God is telling them, since you've already read it and I've already read it. Or what's going to come? See, this should show you what that seven means. 2 Kings 6:24. It says, and it came to pass. Now, y'all know them 10 northern tribes. And those two. Now, those two fell into the same thing after they had observed all of what them other hard-headed folk up there were doing that God told them not to do. They did the same thing. But I'm going to show you how God showed them. Now, here's the fulfillment of his promises of us not doing what he said to do. I'm just saying us because I'm trying to make a parallel for us to see. Romans 15:4 says things are written aforetime, written for our what? Now, here's the learning. Now, I told you when you don't do what I said do, this is what's going to happen to you. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. Uh-oh. Enemies have done what? Besieged them. Uh-oh. And there was a great famine. Oh, they ain't got no food. Fulfillment in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was... Wait a minute, y'all eating mule's head now? Donkey head? Are they making sow meat out of it? They're just making a do... You remember over there in Leviticus 26, it says that the version says, where it says that 10 women shall make one loaf of bread. It's going to get so bad that you ain't going to, you know, 10 households going to have to eat one loaf instead of everybody having a loaf of their own. Now here you go, you done got down no loaf of bread, but y'all fighting over a mule's head to eat. Utter fulfillment. Hey, let's go down. I'm going to show you something else that's bad, that's real bad. And I'm going to come to a close. He says, until the ass said it was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung. What is dove dung? You know what the word dung is. That's feces. You eating bird poop. And it's sold for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him. This king didn't have, saying, help. my lord, O king. And then he says, I don't remember. And he said, if the Lord do not help you, check this out. If the Lord don't help you, when shall I help you? Out of a barn floor, out of a wine press. And he said, the king said unto her, what aileth you? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Now y'all see what they're arguing over on eating each other's children? Now y'all talking, no. There's no speculation now. I just want us to get a graphic example of what some of the stuff that we've been just reading. Thank you for reading. No. It's fulfillment, brothers and sisters, in there. Fulfillment in it. And I'm going to tell you something. 2 Peter 3:9. And I'm going to bring this to a close. 2 Peter 3:9. Now, like I said, this is my text. Since I don't have my phone, this is my text. I'm going to do a live text with y'all, okay? This is a live text. 2 Peter 3:9. This is for us today. So that as you read and study from Genesis on through, as we travel through this Bible, to know that God has fulfillment of everything that he said he's going to fulfill and is not slack concerning anything. So in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, I'm going to read this for you, and then I'm going to let this little talk or this little refresher course will be yours. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's all I wanted to talk about. Now, y'all notice I ain't using my notes. I ain't need the notes because I knew I was going to do this real quick. But anyway, I just want to talk about that. What about? And then, you know, he said that they was going to perish. Remember now, at the time of this writing, anybody, you can say it and answer it out because the time may come to a close. Anybody, how many people do you suspect come out of Egypt? How many at this time before the dying off in the wilderness, and that 40 years on, how many do you think it was? A million? 2 million? About 3 million. You said two. Some people say it was up to about 3 million. That's what some people estimate it was. Because they always only numbered the footmen, those who fought. They didn't number everybody, that's the women and the children and then the Levites and stuff like that. They only numbered the fighters, the footmen. So that's what you had to be careful of. It's about 3 million people. Turn to Ezra 2 and 64. And this lesson will be yours. Ezra 2, 64. No, Ezra is the book right after 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Just before Nehemiah and Jasper. And Nehemiah just before Esther. Okay? Ezra 2, 64. Show you what happens when you don't do what God said do. 2 and 64. See, I told you my memory wasn't that long, so that's why I had to stop. So, 264. Now, this is after the bondage and the siege of not doing what God said. Let me show you how many people was left. The whole congregation together was 42,303 score people. Ezra 2:64. Ezra 2 and 64. Ezra 2 and 64. Now, that is what I call utter depletion. When God said he's going to bring something to an end because you don't do what I said do, he don't play. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, something. Get a little personal with this thing. I thank God for what I've been through for the last 10 years. What I've been through for the last 10 years, some people may say it's utter defeat, but to me, it's one of the graces and the blessed things that ever could happen to me. Change my perspective and let me know that God means what he said mean. When he says something, he means it, brother. And if you can't learn something through adversity, you don't deserve to live like Judas should never have been born. God gives us a chance in his life. See, in Hebrews 9:27, it talks about after Christ had died once and for all, Christ knew what he came here for. He had a mission. accomplished his mission. He died once for all to accomplish all of the things to make us complete. Y'all remember all them little things I told you I was writing down? I share that with you one day. Sanctification, redemption, reconciliation, and all that. Put some most perspective on it. Because it lets us know when God says something, he means it. So that's why I can't understand why people are not responsive to the word of God. But then when I look at it, I think about how hard my head used to be. And still is at times. But thanks God for his glory and for his grace and for his mercy. Because it wasn't for his grace and mercy. Because I'm just a worm. God is the only infinite being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're all finite. We're created by the Creator. We're his creatures. We have his instructions to guide us, to know his will. He come, and lo, I come to you in the volume of a book to do thy will, O God. Here's his will, brothers and sisters. Let us abide by this. Let us abide by God's will. Let's not read and study just as I read and study, but learn something. Learn that God is really on our side. Hearken unto his word. Walk in his statutes. Keep his commandments. And do them. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening attentively. Thank you for the opportunity to freelance, do something different. I spoke to you from my heart tonight. And I think I'll be doing it more often. And I pray that you do the same so we can get out the way and let God's will be done in our lives. It's time for a change, brothers and sisters. Time for us to step it up a notch. Let God be in control. There may be someone here tonight who haven't obeyed the gospel. You come by hearing his word. What did you hear? That Jesus came and died for you on the cross of Calvary, that he was dead, he was buried, that he rose on the third day to be your savior for you. Do you believe that? And if you believe that, it should cause you to want to change your life, to repent, to do his will, because there's no other way to accomplish this. And then when you change, you're going to confess faith in it, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did, just like Martha did. Martha did it. Peter did it. You can go on and on and on. All those who are counted as faithful confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he had come in the flesh to be a Savior for us. You heard it, you believe it, you repent it, you confess. Now what's next to do? Get baptized. Wash away thy sins. And not only does baptism want to wash away your sins and change your whole life and give you a new attitude, releases the power of God in your life, in your heart, in your mind. You know what? Remember they talked about the word tabernacle? Your temple is now cleansed because he can come into you by faith and live in you, possess you. Because what sin is, God is not. He cleans you up. 1 Peter 3:21. You know, the answer to a clear conscience. He washes us. He cleanses us. You see, Acts 22:16. He cleanses us. Makes us a people. You know, we study. No defile, clean, no. You can't have no defilements. Can't slip up in any kind of way. He gave us specific things that we must follow those specific examples to do it the way he said do it. Right? Now, that in mind, there may be somebody here tonight who needs to do that. Somebody. Good to have our visitor with us tonight that he heard what we're hearing to say. And then there's those of us who walk contrary and not listening to God. You remember when you get over here in the book of Numbers, you're going to find out a guy on Sabbath. They was out there picking up twigs. Y'all read that already. You see what happened to him? Don't be out there picking up no twigs. Maybe you've been out picking up twigs. So instead of being stoned, repent. And let's get it right. All right. After we extend. Go ahead on. What's your question, y'all? Okay. We're extending that opportunity. Someone to talk to you. But we're going to give you that opportunity at this time now. Let us stand as we sing. I hope that our closing hymn, the song of invitation. Yes, I am with